In the name of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You know, we Christians, as you know, worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, I say that we Christians worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Upon reflection, I have to say that if you are deeply listening, you might be a little bit confused. We worship one God, but yet I just stated to you that the God we worship is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That sounds an awful lot like three gods. How can it be? Most Christians are perhaps made a little uncomfortable by reflecting on this, because our one God, who consists of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not a very easy thing to understand. Most of us in here believe in the Trinity, because that is what we are told to believe. And if it is good enough for the generations who came before me, then it is good enough for me. But as much as we want to skirt by and not dig a little bit deeper into the discussion of the Trinity, we shortchange ourselves. We do this if we do not engage in our Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Though the Trinity is the one of the most fundamental doctrines of Christianity, the Bible says nothing about it directly. But yet today, we truly, truly believe in the Trinitarian nature of the one true God. You may ask, what do you mean the Bible does not mention God directly? God is Trinity. If the Trinity is not specifically mentioned in the New Testament, then why do we believe it so? Well, we know that the New Testament is the story of the birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man, and he's referred to as the Son of God for the most part in the New Testament. And the New Testament generally reserves the title of God to the Father. But in the New Testament, the title of God is bestowed on Jesus from time to time, such as in the opening verse of John's Gospel, where it states, "And the Word was God." Also, after Thomas sees the risen Jesus, he goes on to confess his faith when he says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." This new faith called Christianity hinged on Jesus Christ being fully God, or the saving acts of Jesus through his death and resurrection, would mean nothing. Also, the apostles and even Jesus himself were deeply rooted in the monotheistic tradition of Judaism, which clearly states that there is only one God who always existed. As you can see, the early church was handed a major theological dilemma, and it took them hundreds of years for the church to work this problem out. In fact, some would say we are in some ways still working the problem out today. The early church dealt with significant theological issues such as, who is God? Who is Jesus? How can Jesus be God if God existed from the beginning? But if Jesus is not God, then his life, death, and resurrection does not save humanity, since salvation can only come from God. But if Jesus is God, do we have more than one God? But we all know two or more gods cannot exist, since we are all aware, just as the Ten Commandments states, that there is only one God, and there can be no other gods before me. To the early Christian church, the co-equal divinity of Christ was the highest urgency because our salvation was at stake. Some questions they had were, if Christ is not truly divine, then he is a creature like us and has no special standing before God. Then we are all still in our sins, and therefore Christ doesn't offer salvation. That was a question they were dealing with. And do you see the dilemma that they were dealing with in the early church? Thus, the long process of the Trinitarian nature of the one true God began to be worked out and revealed among God's people. So I ask you, are you starting to see how the Trinitarian nature of God came about, even though it was not explicitly spelled out to us in Scripture? The Trinitarian issue, through many heresies, debates, exiles, and deaths, mostly came to a conclusion at the Council of Nicaea in the year 325. And that council was summoned by the Emperor Constantine. The Council of Nicaea was called to deal with the Arian question. And Arianism was a heresy. And it stated in simplistic terms that the Son was not fully God, but at the same time was way more than human. That was the heresy they were dealing with. In response to Arianism, the Council of Nicaea gave us a definite answer to the Arian question. I think you may be a little familiar with the response from the Council of Nicaea. Here are a few phrases from that council held so long ago that shaped our belief in the one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. From this part of the Nicene Creed, Christ comes from the Father's substance. Christ is one in being with the Father. And today, on most Sundays, as a result of the Council of Nicaea, we all read together the Nicene Creed as a statement of faith. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three distinct persons, but all are made of the same substance. One in three. Three in one. One God, three persons. The Holy Trinity. Now that we have this Trinitarian business all cleared up, what now? I'm sure y'all got it all cleared up. Yeah, like we could ever clear this up and fully understand the nature and being of God. But it does give us an idea of the infinite and tremendous nature of God. God's three persons are in relationship with each other and invite us to participate in God's divine relationship, God's divine dance. We get a glimpse of the divine dance of the three persons of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We, God's children, through God's saving acts in history, through the actions of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, shows us that God has many avenues to reach us, many avenues to guide us, to love us, to save us, and to open us up to a life that is dancing with God and is much larger than ourselves. Instead of being merely subjects of an authoritarian God, we are invited to be in relationship with this Trinitarian God. Guided by the Father, the Creator. We are created and loved as God's children. Through the Christ, the Son, through the divinity and the humanity of Christ, we are invited to participate in the life of God through God emptying God's self in the humanity of Jesus. And through the Holy Spirit, God is actively connecting us to each other and to all of God's creation. The Holy Spirit sweeps, guides, blows, and burns through all facets of God's creation, connecting us all to God's divine life. God, the Holy Trinity, creates, nurtures, saves, redeems, revitalizes, makes old things new, gives us inspiration, and gives us second chances, shows us how to love, and connects all things to each other and to God. In other words, through the Holy Trinity, we as humans are invited to dance with God in the mysterious, wonderful, and tremendous divine dance that we know as God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, it is time that we as Christians put on our dancing shoes and enjoy this ride known as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.